This is an Enterprise Times podcast. My name is Steve Brooks, and today I'm talking to Jeff Mills, UK Country Manager at WordPress VIP. WordPress VIP is part of Automattic, a globally distributed organisation with several brands and more than 1,200 employees. We're going to discuss the lessons that Mills has learned from helping to run a business that is globally distributed. It has faced challenges that many businesses now face with home working, the new reality of working life. Jeff, hello. Could you tell me a bit about yourself and WordPress VIP first?
Hi, Steve. Thanks. As you mentioned, WordPress VIP is part of the Automattic group of companies, which was in fact created by Matt Mullenweg, who is the co-creator of the WordPress software. So WordPress rose to fame back in 2003 as a really easy way for the masses to get online and get that presence up and running very quickly. But it very soon stretched into the enterprise space for the same reason, but as well it's got a fantastic content management system driving it. With that jump to enterprise, customers wanted assurance that the management of the platform and where it hosted obviously mattered greatly. And that's where WordPress VIP come in. And we are part of a stable of companies under Automattic, WordPress.com, Tumblr, and a bunch of others. But with WordPress VIP, we have 28 data centers worldwide. They're all built specifically to run WordPress. They're tuned down to the metal to be secure, scalable. And we serve billions of pages for customers every month. Where I fit into this is that I'm here based in the UK as the UK country manager here to grow the business through the UK and beyond, in fact.
As I mentioned earlier, WordPress VIP is globally distributed. I believe it was born globally distributed. What does that mean and how did that come about? And how easy did that make the transition to the new lockdown society?
We are definitely that distributed company. So we have over 1,200 people without a single office. So our transition to lockdown probably wasn't that great. It's certainly been easier than a lot of other companies. Each employee already had everything in their home office to run the business they're in charge of from day one. The thing that we miss, like everybody, is the lack of being able to meet up with colleagues at the moment. We would have had regular regional and international meetups to make sure we do some face-to-face time and just generally break bread and people that you talk to every day, you can actually shake hands with and look them in the eye. Most of us are really longing for that to come back as well once the restrictions lift. But to help with that, we still organise regular online meetups. We may or may not talk business and laugh together rather than just being very focused on this is a meeting and this is what we have to get to. We've actually passed on through that as well to make sure that these are a much more social event when we do try and get online.
You mentioned those regular meetups, and it's interesting because the company's been around for some time, but how frequent were those meetups? Because as lockdown eases, people are obviously going to think about how often they can meet up with other people. And WordPress VIP has learned over time, I assume, the best cadence for those meetups.
Before lockdown, we would have a grand meetup once a year. The whole company would descend somewhere and do that once a year. So the whole group of companies could actually meet up and talk. And then you would have more regular, smaller meetups depending on division and department. Just before lockdown, I was heading to New Orleans to meet up with the business development arm of VIP, which would have been 20 odd of us meeting up there to do that very specific business development type meetup as well. The cadence changes depending on the volume of people, the distribution and the department, but you would regularly be meeting maybe once a month or 2 months with some sort of group or other somewhere.
You mentioned you have your own data centers. Do they have staff on site in those or how's that changed?
Data centers still have staff on site just because of the way data centers operate. They're very easy to social distance among them anyway. So the staff are fairly well regulated. They're almost remote themselves, but working from a data center.
What are the business processes that you've evolved as a result, not necessarily of home working, but as being a globally distributed organization? What's been critical?
I suppose I can start that one with my personal view on this, but even before I started Automattic, I've been working from home since 2013. To start with, that transition was really tough. I was working for a global business at the time, and my business ran through Europe and Asia Pacific, and I also had to report into the US. That was with an office. So time zones played havoc with life to start with, even when working from an office. And working from home, I felt as though my day got even longer because I would get up very early to deal with my offices in Sydney and Singapore. After that, I would probably go shower and get breakfast and get myself ready for my kind of European stint for a few more hours. And then after lunchtime or so, the US came on board and I would gradually get into that third phase of the day. And the day just all mingled into one. Actually, the proper way to get into home working is define your day. And defining your day can mean different things. For some people, they have a very definite day. If you're contracted on support, say, for 8 hours, you can't really do much else apart from be on support. But a lot of the employees at Automattic aren't quite as regular as that. They may be engineers or business development people. We can work to the way that suits me. I can get up and take my dog for a walk to start with. I can then do a little bit of work before I have breakfast and so on. Business processes around that are dependent on your role, but it's amazing how it slots so nicely into the rest of your life when you don't have a 90-minute commute, for instance.
Does the organisation do any kind of time recording system, or how do you track employees?
No, there's an amazing amount of trust that goes on with the employees here. We have an away from keyboard notice. So we all run off Slack here. We don't really run very much through email. Everyone is connected via Slack and a system called P2s. It's like our version of an intranet, really. It's all based on WordPress, obviously. And so everything we do all day, we write up and make it public to our group or a division of the group. So anyone can see at any one time what anyone has been up to. So that's not really to make sure that you're doing work. That's really so someone can help and take over at any time without us being in the same office all the time. I can sit here for a period of time, write up what I've been doing, maybe on a business development call. And at the end of my day, maybe there's some other decisions that could be made on California time that can happen before I come back round to the next morning and do my work again.
Obviously, that gives you visibility of other people's work. But how do you actually evaluate what work is done within your team?
Good point. Actually, we're based on output rather than hours spent. So there is a delta in the middle there. You can't get away with 10 hours of work because you'd never get your work done. And I think there's a diminishing return on working hours once you get above 40 hours a week anyway. We all have our specific business that has to be done, and you're judged on that particular output. If Monday I wanted to be away for the day, I would just set my keyboard as away from keyboard and people would know not to bother me. And no one would come back to me and say, well, why weren't you at work? It's okay, so, well, I needed to take the day off and I don't need to explain myself, but maybe I'm playing golf for the day. But I'm sure that all my critical work would be done because it's all out there. And if critical work wasn't done, then someone would be on top of me. But there is a far more trust-based system working this way than being in an office where someone might be looking at the watch thinking, I really need to leave early today, but I'm scared to be the first one to leave.
You mentioned trust earlier, and I'm intrigued as to, obviously, a lot of companies are founded on those values, and you've had your values built up over time like any other organization.
And I think this goes back to the origins of Automattic. Like a lot of small companies, you start working in a certain way because that's the way you've always worked. But with Automattic, it started with, or in fact with WordPress, it was co-founded with Matt Mullenweg, who I said before, and another guy called Mike Little. And Matt, I think, was in Texas at the time. Mike Little was in the UK. So they co-created this thing as a disparate entity already. From that kind of genesis, they were connected by that passion to do stuff online because they really had to. They'd never actually been physically in the same place before. So their mentality had already stretched to how this works. Even when that started to grow, the investors were saying, well, you can't build a big successful company without an office. But I think that the next employee was Ireland, and then there was someone else in Vermont, and then San Francisco. And so it was just natural to bring people on wherever they were in the world and get on with it that way. If other people can see the world in that view, other things really come to the fore, like diversity, inclusion. They become a natural core of the way you work. That was one of the things that really drew me to come here. I'm on the board of a charity for assisted documents for blind people. Inclusion is a big part of what I do in my life, and it's very important that I get the right company to move to with the right ethics that I believe in too.
What are the values of Automattic?
The cultural values of Automattic, yes. There's, like I said before, we have diversity inclusion at our core. We have the ability to live and breathe and work the way you want to work. We're not there as a 9-to-5 drone sitting there and having to put up with the office environment around us. We want to make sure that everyone has the way to work when they want to. The great thing here is today I'm working from my home office, which is great. It's set up the way I want to, and Automattic have brought that in. But one of the values is that actually if tomorrow I want to fly to Spain and work from Spain for the next 2 weeks, I can do that. And so that value to just let people have that much more autonomy in the way they live and breathe their work is one of the values we hold very dearly.
You've already kind of alluded to them, but what are the advantages from a personal point of view and then from a corporate point of view? Does this home working, remote working methodology deliver?
Yeah, that's a good question. It's interesting as well. There's like a before lockdown and an after lockdown scenario with remote working or home working. One thing is great. I work from home. I have my dog here with me, which is great comfort to me. I like going out for walks locally and nearby. I spend way more time with my family. My office is set up exactly the way I like it. If I want to play music loud for an hour, it's fine. No one in the office is going to be shushing me or anything. But the interesting thing after lockdown is it's not just me in my home office. I have my wife here. I have two children that are now at home. So suddenly you're dealing with a whole household trying to move together a bit more like an office in some ways, although I can lock myself away quite nicely. But yeah, just trying to make sure that everyone in the household is understanding of the way they need to work. My wife, like a lot of others, has been furloughed, is at home doing a whole bunch of stuff. Quite often during the day, I can look over my shoulder and realize that she's standing in the doorway wanting me to entertain her for a little while, which is probably a bit of a disadvantage at home. But actually, you roll with the punches and it actually breaks up my day. If I don't want to be interrupted, I'll shut the door, and that's a good indicator. Please don't bother me. And if I need to get my head deeply in a piece of work, I can certainly do so. But one of the other massive advantages that I've got before working from home, I used to commute 90 minutes each way every day to work. I do feel as though you've got this nice feeling that I'm probably saving the planet in some way. My car rarely moves now. It's one of those things, I do need a car, but just on occasions. Whereas before, I was racking up thousands and thousands of miles in my car, moving backwards and forwards, and really wasting almost more than 3 hours a day in doing that. So I think there's quite a lot of good that comes from working from home from a corporate and a personal perspective.
Can you touch a couple more corporate benefits as well? Because I think there are some more in that. Some of the companies I talk to are actually realizing just that actually home working delivers, for example, in some areas, more productivity.
Yeah, that's true as well. I've certainly seen that personally from a corporate perspective. My productivity is much higher when I'm working from home. When I was working for an office, having spent so long trying to get to the office, by the time I got there, I was a little bit tired and ratty because the commute was probably fairly awful. And depending on the weather, it might be snowing and raining and so on. When I got to work, my mind wasn't quite in the game, and it would take me a little while to get into that. And then also there would be that, in some ways nice, but that moment where everybody descends on everyone to talk through that system of work. So a lot of time was just wasted in that to and from getting to work and getting up to speed. And by the time you got home of a night time, extremely tired. And then the process would repeat again. Now I'm here and I get to work straight away. I understand what I've got to do. And actually, if I'm not quite feeling it, I don't do it when I'm not feeling it. I go and do something else, and then my head's back in the game. And when I come back in, the hours I put in, I'm absolutely focused again. And corporately, you see that across the company. People are on the game when they need to be on the game. But if they do need to go and do something else, they have that freedom to relax and get some mind space and just relax outside of work.
You mentioned decision making in terms of working in a global company. Decisions can follow the sun, so to speak. But if you're a single country organization, can this flexible working hinder some decision making, whereas previously you might have jumped into your boss's office and says, oh, I need this signature now? How has that impacted things?
That's a really good point, because we do work with a bunch of featured agencies that are single country entities and have suddenly picked up remote working themselves. And they did have that mindset to start with of, oh my goodness, normally we sit in a meeting room together and make this thing happen. Whereas remotely now, especially with video conferencing and online talking and things like Slack messaging, we're actually connected all the time. And if I suddenly need to get a group of people together to make a decision, I can do so just as easily as if I was sitting in an office in London.
Are there any disadvantages?
Sometimes, it depends on where you work. If you don't get your setup right, if you're in a hugely crowded space to try and work, if you don't have the ability to change your own environment in some way, then that can be a bit of a detriment. You've really got to think about the space that you're in. And I still do occasionally get locked into old ways of the day hasn't started or ended. I am working, and if I leave the study door open, I wander in and do some work, even if it's straight after tea, for instance, when actually I'm supposed to be going out for the dog walk or something. There is a little bit of a discipline involved to make sure you do it the right way.
What about team building? Because a lot of companies have had the advantage of face-to-face meetings and actually building up rapport with other team members. What about new team members coming on board? I appreciate you've got your monthly get-togethers, but at the moment that's not happening. How are you overcoming that?
Yeah, you're right. That was the biggest concern when lockdown came in, especially for new members. I've been with Automatic just during 2020, so most of my time here has, in fact, been during lockdown. I joined a month or so before it started. So I've only actually met face-to-face with two other teammates before lockdown happened. The big worry was other people coming in will feel that. It probably wasn't quite so bad for me because I was so used to remote working anyway. For other people, it was probably a bit tougher. But we've tried to get over that. For instance, very recently, we had a team of about 25 of us, Automatic, organized a wine tasting night, which sounds kind of strange, a wine tasting night when we can't get together. But it was a really great idea. Each of the team members were delivered 3 bottles of wine. We all joined a conference call with a sommelier talking through the wines with us, which was fun in itself. We had about an hour of this going on. And what happened at the end of that was we had like an after party. We struck up yet another video conference where the remainder of us just sat around and chatted and carried on drinking wine as if we were on a meetup. We were a little bit skeptical before this all started, but it was amazing how well it worked.
You mentioned about the actual home working environment can be challenged. Is that something you have to consider when you're bringing new employees in? Because actually, does everyone have a suitable working environment at home nowadays? If you're trying to bring in new employees, how do you ensure that they've got a suitable working environment?
That's a really good point. The actual employment process, we go through a lot of things. Interestingly, with the employment process here, a lot of it is done without actually seeing people face to face. So we don't insist on even a Zoom call. It's all textual based. And we try and do that for a few reasons. One is we don't want even that unconscious bias of seeing someone and making a decision on looks and how that works, or even how they sound. So we'll try and do a lot by text and perceive how people write to each other, which is a lot of the way our business works, whether it's via Slack information or writing up these P2 posts that we have to do internally as well. With their working environment during the process of interviews, we actually discuss that and discuss what it's like to be working in a fully distributed environment. There's a lot of to and fro about how that may or may not work for them. Based on their feedback, it can either be they think it's a great thing, or you can feel that this might not work and you try and help that around how that might work. But for instance, every new employee here, we try and set up their home space for them. So we obviously give them a laptop, but we can buy a computer screen, a desk, a chair, everything around their environment that makes it as easy as possible for them to work. We don't just say, okay, your home environment is your home environment. We do everything we can to adjust that environment to the best way they can work.
The items you're talking about are the obvious items. Are there any less obvious items that you guys buy?
One of the great things here is we have a monthly stipend of some money that's given to us to do with as we please, to work with the way we want. It's a really great soft benefit that, for instance, if tomorrow I wanted to go and work from a coffee shop, not in lockdown, I can spend the whole day in the coffee shop and spend on teas and coffees and reimburse myself on that just because I don't want to work from home that day. Or if next week I've got a lot of work and I'd really like to get out the house or want to go to a working space, maybe a setup office somewhere, again, I can go to that working office, completely separate myself from my normal environment and still charge that back. Even though we do set everyone up at home to work as efficiently as possible, we understand that it's not always as possible as you'd like it to be. And so we make sure that we give the right incentives to make sure people can move around if they need to.
Unit 4 bought all their employees plants. Are there any odd items that is worthwhile companies thinking about acquiring for their employees, for their home office, that they may not normally think of?
I like that idea. It's not something we've done, but you know what? I reckon if I raised it, we'd do it. It's one of those things working for these companies. We push out ideas and someone says, that's a great idea, let's do it. It's a bit like that sommelier wine event thing, but we don't really have anything out of the bag that's unusual for people like that.
You mentioned that your interview process is text-based. That must help ensure that you have diversity and inclusivity through that process, which you mentioned eliminates the unconscious bias aspect. But do you do things like psychometric testing and some of the more modern interview and recruitment techniques as part of that process as well?
No, we haven't gone through psychometric testing. The range of people that you get to. For instance, if I think about my interview process, I was actually brought on with a project in mind. So it was, please go and investigate this, give us a report in any way, shape you want. It wasn't a set report, and come back to us. And it was a group of people I dealt with. So I dealt with the whole of the business development group. I was immediately before employment included on their Slack channels. I could talk to anyone anytime that I wanted to, and everyone was really helpful. And then I could deliver my interview process actually how I wanted to. So I decided to make a video as well as a slideshow, presented my end of report interview process, back via online conference, via a video I'd made and those slideshows. Again, we try not to box people. And that famous phrase is, you can't teach a fish to a tree, or you can't judge them by climbing a tree. Everyone does have a slightly different approach to things. But one of the great things about this textual-based interview process is probably the one thing you are being critiqued on is how well you communicate via written media, which is really important to us. Actually, the way that you look or the way you come from or your ethnicity or if you've got any disabilities doesn't matter. And it's a great way of getting past that.
There's been a lot of talk recently because obviously we're in lockdown. It's a very weird situation. As you say, you're enclosed in a house, sometimes with very close proximity with a lot of other people, or isolated. How does Automatic deal with the mental health of employees? And especially since lockdown has started, because you've been doing remote working for a long time, we seem to be now going into a slightly weirder environment where it's almost you can't get out, you can't see people, you can't socialize. Humans like to socialize.
You're absolutely right that it really is person dependent on how that affects them. Certainly from Automatic's view, it's a case of do whatever you need to do to make it as easy as possible for you. For instance, if you do need to hire that working space somewhere else, then that can be catered for. If you can, at the moment, I'm living in the south of England, which is a little bit luckier than the north of England at the moment. I can go out and go to coffee shops, or I can even go to a friend's house and work if I want to, as long as I socially distance. So it's a case of just giving as much possibility to the worker to work in a way that makes them feel as good as possible. And then on top of that, doing things, as I was saying before, organising something like a sommelier event so you can have a laugh and a joke with people. We had a last minute conversation last night. We fired up an online conference where about 10 of us got together because one of our colleagues is getting married tomorrow. So we surprised him and we had some champagne delivered to his door while we were on the call with him. We try and just make sure that we roll with the punches a little bit and realize that some of this is really tough for people, but can we just space out the working day or just make fun things in the working day to make that less strenuous?
What's the first thing a business leader should do in their organization to ensure that home working is a positive experience, both for the individual and for the company?
The biggest thing is your mindset. If your mindset is, I expect people to be at their desk from 9 till 5 and I want to monitor their hourly working day to the nth degree, you're going to struggle as a business owner moving forward in that way. Secondly, set up your employees for success. So do the things that I've been talking about with easing their home working. Make sure that connectivity is great, the laptop's great, their work, their desk is as best as it can be. Allow them to have the opportunity to move around. If their day isn't as time critical as you've got to be sitting down here because you are the support person for 8 hours, allow them to adjust their working day that suits them better. It's great for working parents that need to suddenly just go off and drop their kids at school once schools are back, to go and take that little while out without thinking, oh, I'm on the clock and someone's going to be looking over my shoulder. Business leaders really need to get their whole mindset around the new way of working.
Jeff, thank you very much.
Thank you.